I want to tell you something that happened Wednesday here at church. And you know that we have prayer meeting here on Wednesdays. And as we were in prayer, and all of us together were praying about various different things, you know, and we always make it a point to pray for the brothers, the pastors in the area, the PACT, as we call it, Pastors Aligned for Community Transformation, the PACT pastors. And we name them, we call them by name, and we pray for them out loud. And you may see on our announcements, PACT prayer meeting, and that's just a meeting of the area churches that are praying together for the transformation of our community, all right? We need our communities transformed by the love and the blood of Jesus, all right? And so we were praying Wednesday, and as I began to pray, I started out praying for something different. I don't even remember what that was, but as I began to pray for the brothers, the pastors, and the churches in the area, God spoke something to me, and it was really a very strong word, and it was very short. The word is this: push back the darkness. Push back the darkness. And as I was hearing that, I began to think of, okay, now is there scriptures that say that very thing, you know? And my mind begins to try to remember scriptures that say that. And so I'm trying to, as we're praying here, I'm digging on my phone, Googling, you know, those words. And there's not really a scripture that says those words to be exact. However, there are several that really drive that point home. And so I just began to think about these words and pray about them and push back the darkness. Lord, what are you trying to say? What does that mean? And the more I began to pray about it and think about it and even do a little bit, just quick research while I'm sitting there in prayer meeting, I just got this strong impression. And the impression was basically this. If I could just sum it up in a nutshell, it would be this: an intention, a forward moving, a plan, a strategic movement to take back what the enemy has stolen. And so that was the feeling, the impression that I was getting as I was praying. And I was like, What does that look like, Lord? What does that look like? I hear it in my head and I feel it in my heart, but what's that look like in our community, you know? And so I just began to keep praying about that. And for the next 2 days, I felt like I needed to share that with the brothers, you know, and the pastors. And but I felt like a little bit nervous about that. And I wasn't sure how that would be received, you know. And you're kind of sticking your neck out a little bit. It's risky, because you don't know how that's going to be received, you know? And so I sat on it for 2 days, but kept praying about it, kept doing some research on it and thinking about it, you know, and even talking about it with a few other people. And as I began to pray about it, Thursday morning, or maybe Friday morning, I really felt the Lord was impressing on me, you need to share this with the brothers. And so I put, a quick, concise text message together and sent it to the brothers, you know, and I said, guys, you could just take this for what you will, pray about it and do with it what God has you to do with it. But I sent it to them. And Tim Lindsay responds back immediately, and he says, brother, you're not going to believe this, but he says, this is the very thing that I'm preaching on Sunday morning. So praise the Lord, God is moving. And then the other brothers began to chime in as well and confirm the message that God was speaking, you know. And even here Wednesday, you know, it was confirmed through a couple of different people. And God has an intention. He wants to move his kingdom forward. He wants to advance his kingdom. And there's almost, and I hesitate to say this, but when I say it, it's going to make it really clear to you. but I don't want it to be misunderstood. And it's almost a militant, moving, methodical, forceful move forward, okay? And so you get the feel of what that would look like, you know, a marching army forward. And the thing that I don't want you to misunderstand is that we're not moving forward in violence per se, right? We're not going to be carrying guns to move the kingdom of God forward, or you know what I mean. It's not like that. But it has that feel like this: we're moving forward and we're going to take the kingdom of God and move it forward. We're going to advance his will forward, okay? And the fight is not against, as Ephesians 6 would say, the fight is not against those that we see, okay? The fight is not against flesh and blood, where we would say, you're wrong, boom, get out of my way. No, the fight is against the principalities and the powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, the Bible says. Okay? And so we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Okay? But our fight, we wrestle against the enemy, Satan himself. All right? And we are, God wants to move us forward. He wants to advance his love, okay? Because the kingdom of God is enveloped in love. The word of God is enveloped in love. It's not enveloped in arguing. It's not enveloped in demanding. It's not enveloped in violence. It is enveloped in love and sacrifice. Okay? And the Bible says to speak the word of truth with love. With love. Okay? So I want that to be very well understood. Because there are those who misinterpret the word of God and they take it upon themselves to advance the kingdom of God, they think, by taking out those who speak against it or who have a different view, and that is not it. Let's just make that clear right now. Okay? They're doing something for themselves or for the enemy himself. They're not doing that for God. Okay? But we need to understand that there is a war that we are in, and it is serious. It's serious, and it's risky, and at times it can be dangerous. And I want to tell you that as a church, the church has become very complacent. The church has become very lazy. The church has become very comfortable. We are enjoying our easy boy chairs. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't want to go on missionary trips anymore because it's too risky. It's not safe. Well, we could catch something there and it might make us sick. We might have to eat some food that we'd never seen before that was at one time crawling on the ground. We may have to endure traveling like we've never traveled before. We may have to, it cost our pocketbooks to advance the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I am saying to you today? We have become too comfortable as a church. We would rather sit in our comfortable chairs. These chairs are pretty darn comfortable. Okay? Sometimes I think we ought to go back to those old wooden ones. We could do that. Boo, boo, hiss, hiss. But you understand what I'm saying. We've got so comfortable, we like our praise team to sound really good. We like all of our visual stuff. We want it all just right. And that stuff, trust me, I'm into that, okay? I want what we present to be the best that it can be. All right? Because let me tell you, the bars on the corner or down in town, they got really good sound systems. They got the lights up. They got all that stuff. All right? Why shouldn't we, as believers, representatives of God, present God's stuff the best that we can? Do you understand? There's a difference here. And you can take that to an extreme, okay, and make all the focus be on all the effects and stuff, and that's not it. All right? But I do believe that it should be the best that we can do because of the one that we represent. Okay? I don't want to produce a shoddy product representing my God. Okay? But I'll tell you, the Word of God, God wants to move His Word forward, His kingdom forward in love, enveloping people, including people. We talked a few weeks ago about God is not slow in returning, as some understand slowness, the Bible says. On the contrary, He is not willing that any should what? Perish. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, God doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. And as collectively the churches in this area, we have promised each other before God that we are going to work together, overlooking our differences, so that we can advance His kingdom for His glory, not for my glory, not for my church's glory, but for the one that we represent. We have promised each other before God to move His kingdom forward. And God wants to use you to do that. Do you understand that? And we've talked before, God wants to display Himself through you. That's pretty scary. And you may be like Wayne's World, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Okay? That may take you back a little ways. I'm dating myself, but we're not. Right? We're not worthy. But the grace of God. The grace of God, friends. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's look to His Word this morning. There is some scripture. Have I told you before that I love the Word of God? I hope you do. I hope you do. Because this thing has everything that we need, the Bible says, for life and godliness. And I'm not telling you this to impress you. I hope you know that by now. But I'm telling you because it's the truth. I'm not talking religion. I'm not talking church. I'm just talking me and Jesus. You and Jesus. Do you get it? Do you understand it? It's a relationship. It's not religion. Religion is cold and damp. Relationship is warm and inviting and powerful. Amen. It's real. It's real. I want to read something to you. Would you turn with me to Matthew 11, verse 12? Matthew 11, verse 12. Did you see my lovely wife here today with me? I'm so glad to have her here. Where is she? She hiding? She's hiding now. Well, I'm so glad she's here today. She had surgery, for those of you who don't know. She had rotator cuff surgery. So she's the one that's got the big old black sling on. And it was not caused by me. In she walks. Hi. Let's get back to the Word, shall we? Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. Now listen to this. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. The kingdom of heaven, since the time of John the Baptist, has been forcefully advancing. Do you understand what I was saying about that militant sort of feel? You may have heard that old song, "The Church of God is moving, the Church of God is moving. The battle has been won, the foe is overcome, and we're marching as to war." All right? Old song. But it does paint that picture, doesn't it? But that needs to be really balanced. We're marching forward with the love of Christ, with the message of forgiveness, the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. We're marching to the beat, as it were, of a different drum. Amen. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. Now, at the time that this was written, people were coming to Christ, Jesus, in droves. They were coming in droves. Do you remember the lady with the issue of blood? She had been bleeding for years, and nobody could figure it out. She had spent all of her life savings and her livelihood. She had spent it all on doctors to try to fix the problem, but nobody could fix it. Nobody could fix it. And as the crowds were gathering around Jesus as he was passing by, okay, and there's a throng of people, they all want to hear what Jesus has to say. And wherever Jesus went, trust me, there was a hullabaloo, okay, because of the things that he was saying. And she pushed through the crowd in order to do what? Just to touch a piece of his cloak. And she thought in her head, if I can at least get close enough just to touch a piece of his cloak, his robe, I'll be healed. And so she pushed through people. Can you picture this in your head? And she's pushing through people. I gotta get to Jesus. I gotta get to Jesus. He's my only hope. He's my only hope. I gotta get to him. Gotta get to him. And she reaches through and she grasps just a piece and she just touches his clothing. And she was healed from that moment on, the Bible says. From that moment on. And Jesus turned around because why? Because he felt power leave him. And he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are like, "Lord, there's people all over the place around here. How are we supposed to know who touched you?" And he says, "I know, because I felt power leave me." His power flowed into this lady that had been bleeding for years, and she was healed just like that. That is the power of the God that we serve. That is the power of the God that we serve. The kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing since the time of John the Baptist. People are coming to Jesus. They see that. Why do they come to Jesus? Why are they taking it, the Bible says, by force? Because it's the truth. It's not religion. It's the truth. And the Bible says in John 8:32 that you will know the truth. And what? The truth will set you free. And friends, when you find the truth, you better lay hold of it with everything that you have. Because there's a lot of garbage out there. There's a lot of lies that are being told to you in the name of God. Many will come in my name, the Bible says, claiming to be the Christ. There's a lot of things being screamed at us through TV and radio and magazines and newspapers and wherever. Okay? That this is the way. This is the way to go. But the Bible says, you will know the truth. And that's the thing that's going to set you free. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me." We don't just default when we die and just go to heaven. There's a decision that we have to make. Yes to Jesus or no to Jesus. Based on that decision decides our eternity. It's very simple. It's very simple. And it is very exclusive. wouldn't you say? It is exclusive, because that's going to leave some people out. But God does not want that. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance through Jesus Christ. Amen. And what he did on the cross. That is the message of the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yep. And that scripture goes on to say that Jesus did not send his Son into the world to do what? To condemn it, but to save the world through him. To save the world through him. He loved you and me. Who is the world? That's you and me. He loved us so much that he gave his only Son as a sacrifice for our sin. Well, why did he have to come? Because the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death, in Romans it says. The wages of sin is death. When we sin, we earn punishment. Okay, just like when we work, we earn a wage. The wages that we get paid because of our sin is punishment. Our sin needs a Savior. We need a Savior. And you may have heard in the past that the blood of bulls and goats and sheep was the way that they would, in hopes to atone for their sin. Jesus paid that price as the sacrifice once for all. And abolished the need for the sacrifice, because Jesus fulfilled it once forever. He is the sacrifice. Forceful men lay hold of it, the Bible says. Forceful. You see, the kingdom of heaven is being advanced by force. And it says, forceful men lay hold of it. We were talking about that lady that is forcing her way through the crowds to get a hold, just to touch Jesus. People see the truth and they want it. People, there's something that the world needs today. They need to know the truth. They need to know the truth. And they need to hear it. And you know what? Your lips may be the only place that they will ever hear it from. From you. Amen. And so I say to you, speak the word of truth in love. Speak it in love. Don't be silent. Don't be weary. Don't be comfortable. I just feel so strongly that God does not want us to be comfortable anymore. He wants us to take risks. Take risks. You know what? Risks involve danger. I don't like danger. Well, I like it if I know I'm not going to get hurt. Just a little bit. Okay? When we go to Guatemala, there is a risk there. There is some danger there. When you travel, when you do missionary trips, it's dangerous. When you speak the truth of God, it's risky. It's risky because it may not be received. That is a real risk, wouldn't you say? That people may not receive it. That's okay. That's all right. Why don't you just speak it, knowing that that's probably going to be the response? And if you get one that says, "You're absolutely right, sister," then just take it all in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But expect that they're not going to receive it well. In most cases, they probably don't. That's okay. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to speak the word of truth and love. Okay? Get to a place where you are uncomfortable. I hope that when next time you go to the gas station or the store or the doctor's office or your workplace or your school, wherever that may be, that God reminds you and you see that person over there and you're like, "Oh man, pastor said this." Oh my. I'll just read my magazine. I'll just watch SpongeBob on the TV in the waiting room. I hope that God makes you uncomfortable. I hope that he moves you because that's the Spirit of God. You know it's the right thing to do, friends. Spit it out. Yeah, but I'm going to mess it all up. Yeah, do it. Mess it up. Mess it up. But do it. God will speak through you. God will speak through you. You got to start someplace. Don't be comfortable. Be looking for opportunities. Looking for opportunities to put your faith into action. You've heard it said, where the rubber meets the road, that's it, man. That's it. Putting your faith into action. I like to say, putting wheels to your words. Yeah? Putting movement to your word. And not just here on Sunday morning, contained in these four walls. Because if that's the case, you might as well lay it down right now. Because Christians, friends, believers, we are not fulfilling the great commission that Jesus gave us in Matthew 28:19. Okay? When Jesus himself said to us, go, make disciples. Go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them what? To obey everything I have commanded you. And just remember, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. God is speaking to his church, friends. God is waking up his church. Keith Green used to sing a song, Asleep in the Light. The church just can't fight because it's asleep in the light. What light? The light of Jesus Christ and all the blessings of the faith that come through Jesus Christ. We've become so comfortable that we just kind of fall asleep. We're lulled to sleep. And we're missing out on our what we are commanded to do as believers. We're missing out on it. We're not fulfilling it. We're not acting upon it. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. Listen to this. The 72 returned with joy. So let me just fill in the blanks here a little bit. Jesus has sent out 72 disciples, followers. All right? And he had given them power to heal, to rebuke demons, and so on and so forth. He sent them out, and it says in verse 17, they returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Even the demons submit to us in your name. The power in what name? Jesus. Jesus the Christ. You know, Christ is not Jesus' last name, right? Right? It's the title. Jesus the Christ. He replied, I saw Satan. So they said, Lord, even the demons bow to your name, okay? And Jesus replied like this, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all power of the enemy. Stop right there. I have given you power and authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. Well, let's just bring some of those in next week, and let's just see if we can trample on them and see how that works. Okay? Maybe one of you would be willing to do that. Okay? Is that what that's saying? No. What it's saying is all of heaven is behind you when you are advancing my kingdom, when you are taking the message of the gospel and moving it forward. All of heaven is behind you, and nothing is going to be able to stop you. All right? The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. Okay? Do you understand? That's what that means. And when we are focused on representing and lifting high the standard of the Word of God, Jesus, His Holy Spirit empowers us. Okay? Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Who is the Lamb?
Jesus.
Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You ever think about that? 1 John chapter 3. I want to speak something before I before I forget it. We're talking about advancing the kingdom of God. And it happens by force because there is war when the kingdom of heaven meets the kingdom of Satan. There is a war that goes on. We are the soldiers of the cross. Okay? We are the soldiers of the cross. We are battling for the cross. All right? And there is a scripture in the Bible. Maybe you can look it up. I can't remember if I have it down here. And it says, you can't break into the house of a strong man before first binding the strong man. All right? You can't break into the house of a strong man unless you first bind up the strong man. When you bind up the strong man, you can go into his house and take whatever you want. So listen now. We, as the kingdom of God, believers in Jesus Christ, are stepping into the strong man's house. Strong man representing Satan. Okay? We are stepping into his house to take stuff that he has stolen. The enemy comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Right here in our area, drugs are running rampant. I did a funeral a few weeks back of a lady that OD'd on heroin. She left her daughter, which is Jody's student. Friends, it's sad. It is really sad. And to see the hurt in that young lady's face that her mom OD'd on heroin. They found her in the backyard, face down. Addiction. All different kinds. Pornography. Spending. All right, you name it. Gambling. Addiction. The enemy wants to have you, your family, your children, he wants to have them bound so that they are unable to get free. When we advance the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are stepping into the enemy's territory and we're taking back stuff that he has taken. And he doesn't like it. Well, that's too bad. Sorry to make you jump. Sorry to make you jump. Kind of. All right? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Greater is he that is in you. Who is in you? Jesus is in you. Greater is Jesus that is in you. Who's in the world? Satan. Greater is Jesus that is in you than Satan that is in the world. The kingdom of God, since the time of John the Baptist, has been forcefully advancing, and forceful people lay hold of it. Because it's the truth of God. It's the truth of God that breaks bondage. When you understand the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb, that is the power of God in your life that breaks bondage of every single kind. Amen. Nothing can stand against the power of God. First John chapter 3. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Now listen to this. Highlight this, underline it, write it down, do something. The reason the Son of God appeared was to do what? Destroy the devil's work. To destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. People that were baptized yesterday, they are now born of God. Publicly, in front of everybody, in front of all of heaven, in front of their church and family, you are born of God. You are a new creation. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Notice that qualifier there. All right. I want to close here. I got a feeling we're going to be hearing more on this topic. Push back the darkness. Keep these things in mind. And I pray that as you pray, as you read the Word of God, as you go through life tomorrow morning, you go back to work, I pray that God reminds you to push back the darkness. How do we do that? We push back the darkness through prayer. We push back the darkness through the Word of God. All right? We speak. What comes out of our mouth is powerful if it's backed up with the Word of God. You know why? Would you stand with me today? Because the Word of God will not return empty. It will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent out. We covered a lot of ground here today, but I pray that God moves in your hearts. I see some of you worshiping in a way that you never have before. I see you raising your hands. I see you moving around in your seat. I see you closing your eyes and worshiping God because you feel it here. There's a newness, there's a transformation that is going on. And pretty soon it becomes, you know what? I don't care what somebody says. I don't care if they've never seen me raise my hands in church before. I don't care if they've never seen me sing anymore. I don't care if they've seen me step outside of my chair and do a little bit of dancing in the name of Jesus. Because I love him, because my king deserves my commitment, my worship, I'm going to give it to him. Hallelujah. Let's close with a song this morning. I want to pray with you today. Let's pray together. Bow your heads and lift your hearts. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all the things, all the great fun we had here this weekend, and all the great food and testimonies and baptisms, Lord, and the great relationships that were kindled here around a campfire, Lord. Father, I pray that you would bind this church together as a family, and that you would bind your church together as the family of God. And I pray that you would help us, oh God, to put on our helmets, to take up the full armor of Christ, as it says in Ephesians 6, and advance your kingdom and your truth forward in love. I pray that we would not be afraid to risk. I pray that you would give us courage, that you would help us be brave, that we would welcome the opportunity for possible failure in an effort to speak the truth. I pray these things in your name. Amen. I want to say something to you here. If you want to know the thrill of victory, If you want to know the thrill of victory, you must be willing to face the risk of possible failure. If you want to know the thrill of victory, you must be willing to face the risk of defeat. Do you understand? Are you willing? Are you willing to step out a little bit? Are you willing to take a step of faith and step out on that limb? Praise God.